This is Conquering Columbus.
I think really the only way to be successful is to be extremely mentally tough. I think you have to be competitive. You have to be able to push yourself. You have to, you know, want to do that. You know, leading an organization, especially a smaller one, like, can be very difficult. It might mean that I have to put in, you know, 16 hours a day. You know, it was really just that drive to be able to accomplish something and kind of push through anything, no matter how hard it is.
Some of the best Columbus success stories are ones built quietly, consistently, and with purpose. And BSI is one of them. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Conquering Columbus. Today on the show, I sit down with Randy Languis, president of BSI, a company that scaled nationally while making mobility and accessibility its core mission. We get into their growth, their impact on communities here in Ohio, and what the future of accessible transportation looks like. Let's dive in.
My name's Randy Languis. I'm currently the president at BSI LLC. Yes, that encompasses BSI as well as bus services. I was born and raised in Columbus, Ohio. Actually, I'm born and raised in Powell, just kind of north of Columbus, just outside of the outer belt. But, you know, lived there my entire life. You know, from there, I moved into going to Ohio State. And actually, the whole reason I went to Ohio State was because of wrestling as well. So I wrestled all the way through middle school, high school. You know, I did pretty well in high school, and then was offered small scholarship at Ohio State, and just, you know, wanted to stay close to home. So getting a small scholarship opportunity was fantastic. I was able to go and, you know, wrestle for the Buckeyes from 2010 to 2015. After wrestling, I went on to work for a corporation called Avian Corporation. It's out at Avon Lake, Ohio. So moved north, just outside of Cleveland, and worked with that organization for about 11 years. I started as an engineer, so my background's in process engineering. While I was working there as an engineer, I got my master's in engineering management, which, you know, most people, if you know the degree, you'll kind of know what it entails, but people usually kind of look at me and think, what is that? It's a mixture between what I call an engineering master's and an MBA. So it just kind of encompassed a lot of the fundamentals of engineering, project management, capital forecasting, capital specification, and, you know, some of the business administration stuff that you get from a traditional MBA. I used that to really work my way into leadership in Avient, which was a chemical, I guess it's a materials company. So we made chemical additives, colorants, polymers, compounds, kind of all kinds of different stuff for the polymer industry. And, you know, I used those, used my degrees in engineering to move into leadership there. So I spent vast majority of my career with Avient in manufacturing leadership, from manufacturing manager to plant manager at a couple different locations. Led some pretty large teams when it came to manufacturing. You know, we operated three shifts. You know, I had supervisors, hourly team, just, you know, really, again, pretty big teams. We were focused on continuous improvement and, you know, just all kinds of operational efficiencies. But one of the things that was a big part of my goals from day one is to gain as much experience as I can with the larger organizations, you know, just really build a background in leadership. So that way I could then go to a smaller organization and apply those skills and really focus on the, you know, leadership aspects of a small group and the growth and development of an organization. And that's really how I ended up at BSI.
What is it like taking on a whole new org, you know, fresh, and, you know, it's, I know it's not for the faint of heart. So tell me about how that transition has been for you, going from working for another org to now running the business and being responsible for its growth and success.
Well, it's wild, to be honest. You know, there's just so much change going on a day to day that you kind of just have to roll with the punches. But one of the things that I learned very early on in my career, and so you know, a tribute to some of my mentors at Avient, Steve Ransom actually in particular, just because he's somebody that continued to coach me. But he always told me when going into a new position, whether that's a new company or, you know, just a new position within an organization, that it's really important to have a plan for your first, you know, 30, 60, 90 days. And the first part of your time should be all about learning. And so I've really taken that approach. You know, I applied it when moving from plant to plant within Avient, and I applied it when moving into BSI. And so I really tried to spend the first, you know, 30 to 60 days just trying to absorb everything that's going on, learn as much as I can about the people that we have, the people that we may need, the organization as it's set up, and the industry, and just really get to know everything inside and out. I haven't quite made it through that learning period. You know, I learned quickly that you know, that kind of slow approach works very well in large organizations. Sometimes you have to adapt it a little bit when you're in the smaller ones, where there's just a lot of things, you know, being thrown at you. But I think all in all, it has worked well. So yeah, still learning, still absorbing things every day, and just you know, trying to make as much of a positive impact as I can.
Nice. Yeah, why don't you tell us a little bit about BSI's mission and what you see for the future of that organization, and kind of some of the trends that you're seeing in the industry as well.
Yeah. So, you know, BSI, we're an adaptive mobility vehicle sales and service organization. And so really it's kind of a fancy way of saying we are a dealership of mobility vehicles. So we sell and service anything that has a wheelchair lift or, you know, handicap accessibility, all ADA compliant vehicles. And that's really been the kind of the niche that we focus in. So, you know, the organization has been focused in Central Ohio for a long time. You know, it was started as a family run organization in 1979. Has been around a while, but really kind of stayed in that Central Ohio, or just like Ohio region. And so when I joined about 2 months ago now, you know, one of the questions I had was like, well, all right, who are we? You know, are we still a family-owned organization? Are we still a, you know, small business to the, you know, extent that we always have been? You know, what's that identity look like? And so, you know, Josh and I worked together pretty closely just to talk about what the mission and vision is. And at the end of the day, we want to just be a one-stop shop for anybody that has, you know, mobility vehicle sales and service needs. And so that means that we can support them and partner with them all the way from the initial specification of a vehicle to the sale and purchase of it, to financing options, to service and maintaining fleets, and then ultimately obsoleting and replacement of those units. And we want to maintain the heart and soul of the local family-owned business and use that as a differentiator for us to expand and reach a, you know, broader audience. So I think you know, a lot of our customers, you know, the folks that we've talked to, just really, they want that personal touch. They want to know that, you know, when they pick up the phone and call somebody, that a person's going to answer, they're going to be able to point them in the right direction. And if they don't get the answer they want, they can, you know, pick up the phone and call the president directly. And I think that really says a lot about the impact that you can have in this position as a, you know, small business owner and operator. And you know, that we have really worked into the you know, mission and strategy for BSI. So we want to take that approach and expand it outside of Ohio. So we want to make sure that we're supporting our local team as much as humanly possible. We've really established that strong partnership mentality with all of our customers. And then we want to look to expand that to West Virginia and Pennsylvania and Indiana and Michigan, and just, you know, kind of multiply from there.
Hey, everybody. Mike here. We're going to take a quick break from the show to talk about one of our sponsors, Bus Service Incorporated. Bus Service Incorporated, or otherwise known as BSI, is Ohio's premier ADA compliant vehicle provider and service center, and they have been a trusted name in the industry for over 40 years, serving major ADA compliant organizations across airports, public transportation, healthcare facilities, nursing homes, and childcare centers. BSI stands out as a leader not only in Ohio, but across the entire Midwest. For more information, or to view their vehicle inventory, or to service your ADA compliant fleet, visit buyabus.net. That's buyabus.net, or you can give them a call at 614-203-7156.
Yeah, it sounds like you have reached the company kind of at an inflection point. Do we stay in this kind of homegrown, local, small town business, or do we start to reshape ourselves? Is it a mix of both? I know you're in the middle of that assessment right now. What are some of the things you're looking at? Because I'm sure there's a lot of companies out there doing the same thing. They were started as a smaller family-run business. Everyone wants to scale and grow their business. What does that look like for you in that assessment period? What are the things you're looking at, and how do you make that determination as to like where that what the right path might be?
So from an assessment standpoint, I think we've generally completed it. I think we know that we want to expand, but I think the assessment really comes into how. How do you do that? But really more, how do you do that while still maintaining the personal touch? So not every business owner wants to expand. A lot of people out there want to run something, build a really strong clientele, kind of keep it a certain size that's manageable, and be able to maintain that personal touch with everybody all the time. And so the trick is, I think, how do you do that without losing that, or how do you take that and expand it and not lose that small business touch. So I think we know that we want to expand. We know that we want to grow. We know that there's a lot of opportunity out there. And we're really just kind of working on developing how do we get that. So a big part of our efforts have been, taking a more sophisticated approach to a legacy industry. And I'd phrase it that way because it's kind of old school, right? So a lot of just spreadsheets, a lot of paperwork, a lot of gentlemen's agreements when it comes to who's doing business with who. And so I think we have an opportunity to kind of leverage some of the newer technology that's out there, whether that's with fleet management software or asset management software, to leverage some more sophisticated email marketing strategies. So that way we are able to reach a broader audience and make sure that people know who we are to help expand. So, some of the expansion and the growth opportunities is not about just expanding the boundaries in which we're selling, but just expanding the reach that we have within our hometown. Right? So there's a lot of organizations out there that operate adaptive mobility vehicles. A lot of folks buy these secondhand from other people, and they might not know who to reach out to for service. They might not know who to reach out to for sales. But if we're able to get in front of those people and make sure they know who we are and make sure that we know we're there to support them, we can really make sure that we're focused on supporting everybody within our region and expanding the different markets that we're having access to.
Nice. And tell me about, from your perspective, some of the key points around mobility, the importance it has in the community, and how you guys plan to really dive in and serve that specific, like you said earlier, niche around this industry and the needs of the city here.
So I don't think anybody can argue with the fact that mobility is critical, right? It's a big country, it's a big state. There's tons of people spread out all the way across the country, and everybody needs to be able to travel in order to have access to the essentials. So I think let's just take doctor's appointments, for example. If you live out in the country, an hour and a half away from your largest major city and your largest major hospital, if something goes wrong, or God forbid you're in an accident and you end up in a wheelchair, access to transportation to reach a doctor's appointment, just deal with the things that you need to deal with on a day-to-day basis, becomes difficult. I think sometimes folks living in a larger city like Columbus may take that for granted, because everywhere we go there's accessible sidewalks, there's lifts on buses, there's public transportation, there's a lot of accessibility around the city, but that's not the case all the way across the state and all the way across the country. So, you know, we just see it as critical. And I think, you know, something that we do at BSI is really work to understand the needs of our end users, right? So our customers are the transit authorities, the healthcare organizations, the, you know, the folks supporting others with developmental disabilities. You know, those people that are going to be, you know, operating the vehicles that we offer. But at the end of the day, the people who are using those services are folks that, you know, need transportation to appointments, or they need transportation to the facility that's going to, you know, help support them on a daily basis. And I think we go out, we talk to our customers, we see the folks that are using our vehicles. You know, we ask a lot of questions and try to understand exactly how they're being used, to so that way we can truly understand what matters. So it may be something as simple as just asking the question, how comfortable is it to ride on a Lyft, you know, in a wheelchair? And yeah, Alex, have you ever ridden on a Lyft in a wheelchair?
No, never.
It can be a little bit unnerving, because some of the you know, floors on these vehicles are, you know, 3 and 4 feet off the ground, especially on your larger buses. So, you know, you can imagine you have to, you know, get on a wheelchair, be strapped in on this thing, feel comfortable as it's, you know, slowly raising 4 feet off the ground, and you don't know what, you know, sort of conditions are happening, you know, outside at the time, because this is, you know, exposed to the elements. So, you know, something as simple as understanding that and trying to design vehicles with lower floors or easier access can make all the difference in, you know, patient comfort. And, you know, if people feel comfortable entering the vehicles and riding the vehicles that we provide, they're going to, you know, be more comfortable, they're going to be happier, they're going to, you know, have an easier time accessing the services that they need. So, you know, that's something that, you know, I think is really critical to us, and that we really try to strive for, is just that solid understanding as to who's using the vehicles and, you know, how we can best support them. So that's what our customers, you know, care about. That's what they do on a day-to-day basis. They support, you know, their end users, and we want to support them in that effort.
Amazing. Yeah. And there's obviously a huge connection there in terms of understanding the needs of folks who are looking for these mobility solutions, who need to have the type of access to these vehicles in order for them to get critical care, as you mentioned, in those types of scenarios. I would imagine this is pretty important, not just for you, but for your entire team. I mean, do you feel like your team now is connected with that mission as well? And, you know, do you have examples of where some of those folks might be, you know, really invested in mobility solutions for the city?
Oh, 100%. You know, I think our entire team is really invested in it. You know, a couple members of our team have, you know, more personal linkages to the industry. You know, one of our sales reps has a family member who is in a wheelchair, and so he, you know, experienced the struggle firsthand just growing up, of how difficult it was to get access to transportation, and really just all the planning and everything that it takes to help, you know, somebody that has that form of disability that limits transportation availability. So, you know, we have sales reps that are, you know, extremely personally linked to this. And honestly, it's one of our selling points when we're interviewing folks. You know, we talk to people about what we do. And you know, I can't tell you how many times I've heard that it really makes a difference that somebody would be coming into an industry that matters, for lack of a better way to put it. Not that any other industry, you know, doesn't matter. But when you really start to think about it and the impact that we can have on people's lives and the you know, support that we can, you know, provide, it makes a big difference in getting people to come work for us and with us. And when people understand that mission, and that's a big part of why they want to work at BSI, you know, just that passion for the industry, that passion for, you know, supporting others and helping others kind of just shines through.
And when we look at the team, and as we mentioned earlier, this sort of inflection point or this fork in the road for the company really doubling down on a growth strategy and building the right organization to go into that. Talk about how important is the team's commitment to the mission, the structure of that team, the things you're sort of assessing now to make sure that that team is set up for success, is ready for that scale. What does that look like now for you in terms of mapping out, you know, the right team, and what are some of the things you're vetting within the team?
So in terms of importance, I mean, that's it. It's the only thing that's important, is to make sure that you have the right team around you in order to grow, and that the team understands clearly the mission and vision, strategy, organization, so that way they're, you know, fully bought in. You know, we can't afford to have, you know, folks who don't believe in that. And so, you know, I think you've probably heard, you know, talking with other folks that are, you know, part of rapidly growing organizations, that you kind of have to make decisions quickly. You have to, you know, ensure that people truly understand what you're up to, and, you know, build a team that is fully bought in and fully capable of kind of carrying things forward if you're not there. Right. So the reason I phrase it that way is that, you know, I see my job as a leader of the organization to prepare, you know, my team to do what I do on a day-to-day basis, because that's the only way that we're going to be able to grow. So ideally, I would be able to, you know, set up the organization to operate as a fully, you know, independent operation here in Central Ohio. So then that way we can, you know, take our skill set and our strategy and our dedication to our customers elsewhere to help expand and kind of continue to grow that way. You know, once I know we have a team that's able to execute on that. And truthfully, I think we have a very, very strong team that is, you know, working through the growing pains of, you know, team development. But we have a lot of really good people, a lot of really dedicated people, and, you know, we're seeing a ton of positives come out of that. So, you know, one of the things that I really look for in a team is one, understanding of, you know, the mission, the vision, communication capability, because, you know, communication is all. You know, our customers, our clients, you know, they want to know what's going on. They want to know what's happening with their vehicles, where they're at in the process, and, you know, how do we make sure that we improve that? And then I, you know, look for the human element. You know, how much does somebody truly care? Because if you care about your customers, you care about their end clients, you care about the industry, you're going to do everything you can to make sure that it's successful, because I think the services that we offer, you know, critical to maintaining the industry in Central Ohio.
Yeah, looking at the team, obviously the dynamic there is so important. It's a critical element to growth, as you mentioned. The folks, I'm sure you have several folks that have grown with the company, have grown up with the business, and now they are coming along for this ride as you continue to scale and grow. Looking ahead at the future, talk to me about what BSI looks like in the next few years. What does that expansion look like for you guys in terms of opportunity out there? And like you mentioned earlier, not just region, but in other areas that you feel like the industry can start to innovate a little bit, and BSI can kind of be at the forefront of that. And what does that look like for your roadmap?
So I think, you know, BSI, in terms of what it really looks like over the next couple of years, is it'll probably change. I bet you if you ask me again in 6 months, you might get a different answer. But I see us as being at the forefront of a, you know, one-stop shop, like end-to-end solution provider. You know, that's something that I think we are doing better than anybody else, and we still have a lot of improvements to be made, don't get me wrong. But over the next couple of years, that's where I think our focus is going to be. So how do we ensure that we are working with our customers to set them up to help specify these vehicles as best as humanly possible? How do we work with them through the sales process and provide meaningful updates and data as we become a, you know, more sophisticated organization, or bring some more sophistication to an industry that I think that is lacking, quite frankly. And You know, once we get through sales, how do we ensure that our customer service all the way through into service and fleet management is seamless? And you know, I think we are able to offer like fleet management capabilities and service capabilities that a lot of other folks are not able to do. We have, you know, fully certified technicians at two separate locations. You know, we're certified to work on lifts. We're certified to work on the bodies of these vehicles and everything mechanical. So, you know, we can truly handle everything that, you know, may or may not go wrong with any of these vehicles throughout their lifetime. We can provide information and data about accurate capital forecasting and spend management. So that way, you know, folks that might not have a dedicated fleet service manager can still be making data-driven decisions. And we can help to extend the useful life of their assets and make more informed capital replacement decisions. And then the cycle starts all the way back over, right? So that's something that I see BSI really, really excelling in. And you know, we can use that as a differentiator for us in the industry. Aside from that, you know, I think that we really strive to look at partnerships. So and just being in the industry for 2 months now, you know, I haven't heard the term partner as much as I would typically expect. And so I think we can really build the relationships and the partnerships that we have with our key vendors, our critical suppliers, our manufacturers, our upfitters, you know, the folks that are, you know, helping to build and work on these vehicles. And we can, you know, leverage that partnership and you know, the data exchange and transparency that we can really build with them to provide even more meaningful data to our, you know, and customers. So that's another area that I think we really focus on. And you know, from a, you know, growth standpoint, I think that in and of itself is going to provide a, you know, a meaningful growth strategy within our current boundaries, so to speak. We'll be able to become that one-stop shop for our customers. We're going to be able to, you know, provide them all the services that they really need. And if all goes well, then it's kind of a copy-paste exercise, which I know nothing is ever quite that simple. But, yeah, we have something that would work, and we look to, you know, expand and continue that support in other regions. And we continue to, you know, support the customers that are surrounding Ohio, and, you know, we'll kind of see where this thing goes.
So modernization, while still trying to maintain that high touch environment that customers really have come to love and enjoy about working, you know, with a group like yours. I mean, you definitely have a big roadmap ahead of you. I know you're just getting into this and now looking at, you know, really this big trajectory for the organization. What about for yourself? Have you set some goals for yourself in this new role and how you're looking to grow, and what are some of those milestones that you have?
So to tell you the truth, I haven't thought a lot about myself since starting the position. You know, I spend most of my time and energy thinking about the organization and the people that we have. For me, this is a challenge. So I've always, you know, thrived in competition and kind of in intrinsic challenge. You know, it's just something that I love doing. I like to just push myself. So trying to build an organization is something that I haven't, you know, yet been able to achieve. You know, I haven't had the opportunity to do that. So for me, this really looks, this is just an opportunity to prove everything that I've learned through my career. This is an opportunity to really have a meaningful impact on the people around me and build a company that people enjoy working for, trust, and believe in. So I think that's really what my vision is for myself. Now, exactly how we do that, I think, is going to be, you know, that's the challenge, right? But you know, coming from my last organization, you know, I spent a lot of time, I guess my last three roles were at three different manufacturing plants. Two of them, I would say, were not quite a turnaround situation, but more of a cultural turnaround and kind of a, you know, insignificant need of improvement. And so, you know, one plant, let's take for an example, one of the key critical metrics we measure was on-time delivery of products. When I joined that facility, we were at roughly 60% on time for all orders. And after about a year and a half, not saying this was strictly because of me, but, you know, a lot of time and energy, like the goal was to improve that. And we were at 94% and increasing at the time that I moved on to another facility to kind of try to do that same thing. So I've had experience with cultural improvements. I've had experience with really driving organizational and operational improvements, but all within the confines of a larger organization. So for me, this is an opportunity to take all of those lessons, all of those, you know, leadership lessons, all of the people development that I, you know, spent so much time and energy working on as part of Avient, and apply that to a completely different industry. And you know, I think a lot of the same principles apply, and I want to prove that. You know, I want to make sure that that is actually the case. And you know, I think I'm going to measure myself in terms of being successful in two different ways. So one's going to be the size of BSI, right? We're looking at, you know, revenue, gross profit, and all your typical metrics to evaluate the size and the growth of the organization. But I'm going to look at it for, you know, employee satisfaction and trust in the organization, and the intangible, you know, level of joy and, you know, fun that people, I think, have at work, and the camaraderie that we build as something that really drives me to work hard for this. Because at the end of the day, it's about the people. You know, it's not about the bottom line. It's not about the top line. You know, those to me are kind of afterthoughts. Because if you have the right people in the right places, you empower them and you support them and they enjoy what they do, the rest of it falls in line.
It is a tough job. It is a lot of hard work. Talk to me about how do you think your background in sports and competing in that space, how does that competitive attitude come out here, and how do you see some of those parallels from when you were, you know, competing on at that, you know, on a physical level? Do you see any parallels to the competition that you're facing now?
Definitely. So have you ever wrestled?
No, never wrestled.
All right. So I actually talk about this quite frequently with some of my friends, but another friend who I wrestled with at Ohio State, and he coached wrestling, was a big part of wrestling at Oklahoma University for a while. His name's Nick Heflin. And we talk a good bit about the mentality and really just what wrestling brings to an individual. Because there's really no other sport like it. And I know this you know, podcast is about the company, but I'm going to make it about wrestling here for a little while. But it's physically exhausting. It's mentally demanding. You know, mentally, it's really, really challenging because you have so many different things to focus on. You know, you have to figure out how to perform at your peak while also cutting weight and fundamentally starving yourself. You have to figure out how to balance 2 and 3 a day practices with your school load. You know, there's just so many different aspects to this sport that I think really the only way to be successful is to be extremely mentally tough. And what wrestling did for me, and you know, I brought up Nick earlier, and he's one that kind of made me recognize this, is that I don't know if I'll ever do anything that hard ever again. Like, I don't know that I'll ever be, you know, 3 days without food, a day without water, on my fourth workout of the day, trying to drop the last pound, getting ready to turn around and wrestle the, you know, number one guy in the country in an hour, ever again. The experience is like, there's just nothing like it. And so oftentimes I, you know, find myself thinking about like what hard and what difficult actually is. And it kind of brings into perspective all different lives that people live. And so if you've done something that's extremely hard, if you've chosen to suffer as part of your sport, you've done something that's extremely hard. And so you have that frame of reference. And I bring that up because, you know, I think, you know, leading an organization, especially a smaller one, like, can be very difficult. It might mean that I have to put in, you know, 16 hours a day for, gosh, I don't know how long. Started doing it 2 months ago, and I'll let you know when it ends. And that's really hard. And I use the frame of reference of like what something that was actually hard is in wrestling. And it just, I don't know, it helps me calm down. I think I can do this, right? It's actually not that hard. It's not the hardest thing I've ever done before. I survived that, so I can survive this. And so I think that just allows me to stabilize, to, you know, recognize that there, I guess maybe that there's an end in sight, and that you know, if I've, you know, made it through these extremely hard times, extremely hard physical and mental time in wrestling, that I can make it through anything. And you know, I kind of just apply that mindset in everything I'm doing. So, you know, sure, if I've got a, you know, big project or a, you know, a massive bid that's due in 2 hours and probably needs 3 hours worth of work, it's like, well, okay, it's time to just buckle down. Like, this is going to be hard. And you accept it and you just do it. You get, you know, you just get stuff done. And, you know, so I think that mindset was instilled in me in wrestling. And, you know, I see that same mindset in Josh. I see that same mindset in Nick. And, you know, it was really just that drive to be able to accomplish something and kind of push through anything, no matter how hard it is. And that translates into life. Because, you know, I think ultimately, if, you know, you think about somebody who hasn't had as many hardships or hasn't, you know, had to suffer in, you know, whatever way, and, you know, hasn't chosen to suffer in that way, they might break under the pressure. They might, you know, think, well, this is just too hard, and I don't want to continue doing this. And so I think, you know, wrestling has really driven me to be able to do that. Plus the competition, you know, mindset, like, I think there's people that like to win and there's people that like to compete. I like to compete. I mean, of course I like winning, but, you know, the competition, I think, is the fun part. It's the thrill of the process and kind of pushing yourself to do something that you've never done before and accomplish something that you've never accomplished before. That part is exciting. And that competitive mindset, you know, plays hand in hand with, you know, running an organization. I think you have to be competitive. You have to be able to push yourself. You have to, you know, want to do that, because nobody else is gonna push me. I got to push myself.
Building a business is an endurance sport in and of itself. Absolutely. And you've got a lot, you know, a lot ahead of you in terms of growth, the grind, and continuing down and tapping into that mentality. What's motivating you the most right now?
Family. You know, I think that's it. That's really what this is all about. So, you ever been asked the question, why do you work?
That's it. Family, right?
That's it. Right. You know, if anybody tells you otherwise, like, it's to make money, it's to pay bills, it's to have a house and all that. But at the end of the day, none of it matters, unless you're there for your family. So, you know, I'm married. I have two kids. My oldest is 4. My youngest is 2.5. And both little girls, they're phenomenal. They're crazy right now, driving their mother insane, I'm sure, at this moment. But, you know, I just love them to death. And that's what keeps me going. Because, you know, I know that in building an organization, you know, being successful from a personal standpoint means that I can support my family. I can provide everything that, that they need. I can support, you know, my children in going to college someday if they choose to do that. And that's really what just, you know, what I keep in the back of my mind. You know, building a successful organization means that I also get to support other people's families. And so I think that's something that, I don't know, folks maybe don't talk about as much as we really should, because, you know, it's not just about me. It's about the 35 other people that work at BSI. And so if I make the right decisions, if I work as effectively as possible and work as hard as humanly possible to make sure that the organization is successful, then they can all be successful. And when they're all successful, it means that they can support their families. And, you know, that thought just sticks with me all the time. You know, it's kind of the only thing I think about. That's what drives me to be successful. That's what drives me to want to build the organization. Because the bigger we get, the more people I can support.
Well, we'll let you get back to your family. I know that they're, I'm sure they're waiting up for you right now, trying to, waiting by the door for the dad to come home. Appreciate you taking the time today. enjoyed the conversation, and really looking forward to following the success, both of you and of BSI, and seeing what the future holds for, you know, for the both of you. And I'm excited to follow along.